Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My favorite, and this song encapsulates my weekend. So no, I'm just kidding. Not all of it. Just the 7 p.m. part. All right. Anyway, we are back here on the morning shift this hour, brought to you by ZRS.
I know,
you guys,
confused.
You two are in the dark. Those guys. All right. He's basically saying it's 7 p.m. on Friday, and I don't have a man, so I'm going to go out and have fun.
Who is this?
Glorilla.
Glorilla.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. It's sounds like something I would have been into
it
at
is,
some
it
point.
It is. I like the edited part because I was laughing. When you started playing, I was like, oh no.
Dylan might be in a little trouble, aren't you?
Dylan's about to lose his good job today.
Glorilla.
I'll tell you something. Dylan plays some stuff. We would all lose our good jobs today.
All right. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. Should not be eating in between, like in the breaks.
What you munching on over there?
I rushed to take my last bite, and now I'm struggling to like breathe and talk.
You got a steak going?
I'm in
the same time. You know, I'm getting it together here.
Steak used to do that. He would, when we were working at the old station, he would run back from eating breaks. He'd be like, back here. on sports radio. Excuse me.
Oh, man.
I messed up.
Bagels and lox from Goldberg's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd do that.
There you go.
All right, this hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. Falcons Saints this weekend, and while Saints QB Derek Carr, he's playing in his second game since returning from injury. The receivers he's going to be throwing to, it's not really clear, right? So Chris Olave, we don't know how long he'll be sidelined or if he will return at all. He suffered his second concussion of the season last week in Carolina. And his other deep option, Rashid Shaheed, is on IR. And then A.T. Perry was cut and picked up by the Broncos. So there's a lot of movement there.
Bub
when it comes
Means
to,
might be injured
Bub
as
Means,
well.
Yeah. He's on injured reserve. And then reserve receiver Cedric Wilson, he hasn't practiced this week because of a shoulder injury.
Tano Passanio is going to play, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
There you go.
So we all know what this team, what the Saints are and what they're dealing with. The best part about what I just went through some of Josh Kendall's recent article that he posted on The Athletic, and the best thing I read in it, other than some numbers that look cool, really cool for the Falcons and might have my guy to the left giddy about the sack percentage the team's given up this year, is that leaders on this football team know what it's like to either face or be on a team that has just fired their head coach midseason. And they understand what the interim coach bump or jolt, whatever you know terminology you want to use, is. And that it's real. It's real, at least for one game. At least that first game, it can be a breath of fresh air. It's literally, you know, Grady said that everyone had love for DQ, but when he was fired, he goes, it was a breath of fresh air for us. Because I think it just, that cloud of, if you don't play better, this guy's going to get fired, was gone. And you can kind of, it's got to be a freeing feeling, Mike.
It's kind of messed up.
It is, I know, well, but like, you feel the pressure.
Better, fired.
But you feel you've got to feel the pressure for it, right?
And I think to a bigger extent, and for a guy like Grady, this is true. When it's a guy that drafted you, it's even a bigger deal because you're like, that guy believed in me. I want to make sure I go to battle for that guy. Like, you know, and so I think for guys that were drafted by that coaching regime, it's a bigger deal, or that were signed in free agency the way a guy like Derek Carr might have been.
Yeah, and and Kirk Cousins talked with them about, hey, I remember we played the Atlanta when they fired DQ. The next game, they beat the crap out of us. Yeah, I threw a pick in the first play of the game, and they never turned back. They beat us walking away, so we know it's real. So they understand what it is that they're about to go into and face. And if you have your leaders know that, there shouldn't be let down. And it brings me to the thing that I don't think anyone has talked about in this entire media market. We have went with this team from having to come back to win games and winning games closely with a last-minute touchdown or field goal to being up double digits in the fourth quarter and just doing enough to finish the game. And I think it's the – and I mention it because Grady talked about, he goes, we've only lost games this year because we haven't executed well. We don't think we've ever been overmatched in any game this year.
That's a big statement.
And when you start to think about it, as the season's gone on, the execution has gotten better. You still have flaws. There's no doubting that. But if you continue to execute better, why can't this be the game that you go in there and you walk away from and you don't look back?
Yeah, and the NFL is so crazy. You guys have been around it for a long time, to where you get to a certain point and you look back on your – and we almost fall in the trap of looking back on the losses and saying, man – they could have just got Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh hit six field goals. They could have just got Pittsburgh. Or if we'd have gotten the pass interference against the Chiefs. And sometimes you forget the, hey, we scored a last second, you know, touchdown against Tampa and sent that one to overtime. And we scored at the end of the game against Philly and we're able to pull that one off. And it kind of goes hand in hand. But I kind of like the direction you're going, because we did 3 weeks ago play the Seattle Seahawks. And we went into this game with them losing three straight and almost kind of expected to win. And then you get hit in the mouth and you're like, wow, that wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. And you kind of settle back into the trenches and go, all right, got to get back to work. And that's exactly what this team has done over the last couple of weeks, and have had a couple of resounding victories that have been nice to follow.
Well, let's hear from the Atlanta QB, Kirk Cousins, on what we can expect this weekend. He joined Dave Archer in this interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. We will have that up for you momentarily.
I'm sure it's riveting, because Arch does a really good job with these interviews.
Arch always does a really good job.
I do. Like, I think Arch has such an interesting perspective when it comes to conversations with Kirk Cousins, because obviously they fit in that same kind of quarterback boat. And I think Arch realizes a lot about this franchise and the exact questions to ask a guy like Kirk Cousins going into some of these games.
Well, let's get to that interview brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Get a chance to catch up with Kirk Cousins now here before this New Orleans game. Kirk challenges, you've seen Tampa twice, actually handled that extremely well. This was a New Orleans team that gave you guys a bit of a problem in week four. Tell me about what's different about going into the second game.
Well, it's a better football team than their record. They did give us a challenge. We didn't score an offensive touchdown in the game we played them. I think they do a great job mixing up their coverages. They also were missing really the heart and soul of their defense, DeMario Davis, the last time we played them. He's back. So it'll be a good challenge for us. And then anytime you go into the Superdome, you understand just the added challenge being in a hostile place, a noisy place. So for so many reasons, we've got to play our best football to have a chance to win.
You've played in a number of rivalry games, both in college but also in the National Football League in your career. This is one of those more heated rivalries between two teams. How much does that play into it, or do you have to push that out of your mind?
Well, you felt it when we played at home here in Atlanta, and you'll feel it again, I think, in New Orleans, although this time the wind's not at your back in that case. But all the more reason to want to get on the plane and fly home and be able to provide your fan base with a win against a rival. So the all-time series before this season was completely even.
Yeah.
And then we were able to go one up. And we'd love nothing more than to be able to go two up and not get it back to even.
I know how much you've enjoyed having some running attack. This team limited your running attack last time. How important is that in this game?
I think anytime you go on the road, if you can run the football, it just takes a lot of pressure off of your team, off of your offense. Time of possession, running the football helps our defense so much. So, you know, I can't say enough about how when we can run the football, the way it raises our ceiling as an offense and as a football team. And like every game, I think we'll commit to trying to establish that throughout the game.
Okay, last thing for you. There's a little bit of desperate feel to them. It felt like you had kind of that desperate feel last week against Dallas. Is there something dangerous about that, unscouted things?
I think the key, Arch, is anytime a coach is replaced, the team in my history tends to lock it in, and you're going to get their best effort. I think also you mentioned that desperation, the sense of urgency. It's always there in this league, but I think the Saints will play with that on Sunday. So I just see it as we've got to be, for so many reasons, on our preparation, on the details, and playing at our best level. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be disappointed with the results. So just that sense of urgency has to show up all week long and as we get to the stadium on Sunday.
As always, thanks for your time. Go get you another one.
Thanks, Arch. Dude.
Look at Cousins knowing the history of this rivalry. Do players get, do they get the game notes packets that we get sent out?
It seems
out
like something Raheem would do. It seems like a slideshow that Raheem would put together.
This is where we rank in all-time matchups against these guys.
It's funny, Tip, because I go back and forth. I'm like, this seems like something Raheem would have, maybe a slideshow, just so everybody knows of, you know, the history of this rivalry. It also seems like something Kirk Cousins would have looked up on his own.
That's what
like,
I was going to say.
Like, knowing Kirk, you're like, you know what? Like, he probably dove in.
Let me Google this.
He's like, let me check out the Wikipedia page on the old Falcons-Saints rivalry.
Well, if we want to talk rivalry, I'm all for it with this team. I have a hatred like no other. I've seen them.
Deep.
I've seen them try to embarrass us every halftime show, and that's an organization thing, okay? When you do a halftime show, that is not some rogue employee. It happens every year. Like the year after we lost Super Bowl, they tried to do this whole thing where their whole halftime show was a 28-3 display. They're trash, their organization is, and it goes back to the fact that I remember – I think it was week two or three, and I was me and Sprinkles were on a weekend walk, and I was listening to Fricky on the weekends, and some Saints fan called in and told John that he needed to respect his organization, and I was texting with John, and I said, tell him we'll respect his organization when they're not trash, and
when they
don't
respect us,
and they don't come at trash with us and show us some freaking respect, because it goes both ways. That said, this is going to be a tough game. And we cannot overlook it. We have to come in there and want to. This is the ultimate put your foot on your opponent's throat and stomp with all of your might, because they will not go away.
This has been a hate-fueled speech.
This is one of those times where I side with Bo in these kind of conversations, Tiff. I gotta tell you, it's I feel very similarly, because I've been in that building when our organization has been disrespected. The Drew Brees game, the Sean Payton. Like it, there
last
is
last year alone.
Yeah,
don't forget.
I have never seen red the way I did just in this role in sports media the way I did after that game last year when they took it upon themselves to put a touchdown in on a fake quarterback kneel. I have never seen anything like that, and I hope I never see it again. And the fact that it came from the Saints in a situation like it did, when you probably knew the Falcons coach was headed out the door. It was like, I'm going to kick him when he's down kind of thing. And I know that Dennis Allen came out later and apologized and all the above. And my hat's off to him. And that's one of the reasons I haven't really dug in this week, because, you know, after he's lost his job, because he was like, he made it very clear. He's like, I don't blame Arthur Smith for being beside himself. I've seen it time and time again that's an organization that doesn't mind going there. And that's one of the things that makes a rivalry great. But on the other hand, I'm not going to be apologetic for how I feel about them, and I don't think they should be apologetic for how they feel about us, and that's just the way it is in these rivalries.
And I heard tickets are kind of cheap down there right now, and I'm not just making it up. I've heard that they've dropped quite a considerable amount. Hey, if you find me anywhere in New Orleans and you came down to that game, I'll buy you the cheapest beer that's on tap, but I'll buy it for you.
What's the New Orleans version of Natty Light?
Go fill that house. Go fill it. Let's fill the Superdome, and let's make it loud for them.
Let's
take away their home field advantage, because their fan base is going to show up for this game. Let's change the narrative. Let's go down there and absolutely destroy them. Don't forget, Dennis Allen might be gone, and he might not have been responsible. Jameis Winston might be gone, and he was responsible for a lot of that. But a lot of those players were also responsible for that. A lot of those coaches were responsible for that. I mean, I don't like to use the word embarrass your opponent, but if we can embarrass an opponent, this is the one to embarrass.
I tell you who wasn't apologetic was Mr. Rizzi, who's the interim head coach. So there you go.
All right. We're going to cool off here. Take a little breather for a second.
Tiff. I don't want to.
And we will come right back with a running back that is going to be making his return to action, a superstar in the league. We'll discuss next when we go in the huddle here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are giving you the latest NFL headlines here on the morning shift as we go in the huddle, and some news that could affect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's probably not the news they wanted to hear. Running back Christian McCaffrey has been designated to return from injured reserve. That happened on Monday, and so that means we could see him in action in Week 10 this Sunday against the Buccaneers. Coach Kyle Shanahan said he's been awesome these last 2 days, and that's what he said about Christian's participation in practice, and that hopefully it continues to go well. I expect to get him out there.
You know you're a talented team when you can tread water without your best player.
Yeah.
Multiple good players. You know, Brandon Ayuk's obviously been out for a couple weeks. It's not good for the rest of the NFC West because that division is literally 5-4, 4-4, 4-4, 4-4, 4-4, or 2 4-4s, a 5-4, and a 4-5.
Yeah, they're speaking of tread water.
They're all right there. And they're, no one has played more than three division games at this point.
And now you're getting him back from Achilles tendonitis at the midway point, and a lot can happen, as you were just alluding to, for a lot of teams. So this
those
is
fresh legs, Tiff.
This gives them exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of division play left.
You know who else has fresh legs is the guy who is sliding in a little bit in place of Brandon Ayuk, and that's Ricky Pearsall, who came back. I think he had 5 catches a week ago, and he is starting to get accustomed to this offense.
Oh, so we might have to start looking at him in the lineup.
He's on the fantasy team, and made his debut a couple weeks ago, and he just looks like he's getting more comfortable last week, and you hate that they're minus Ayuk, but, man, they just, for whatever reasons, the 49ers just seem to find a way to really surround this team with weapons in all facets and do things differently, and I think that's a hat tip to Kyle Shanahan and what he does as a head coach, but they're a good team, and you just know that team, with whatever Kyle Shanahan asked Brock Purdy to do, he's going to be able to do it down the stretch, and they're going to win some close games.
It's a hat tip to John Lynch as well, who's done a good job at building that team with Kyle Shanahan. Pearsall, to me, I think is going to step in that Ayuk role, and with a healthy McCaffrey, a healthy Debo, George Kittle being healthy, as if I'm not mistaken, as well. I mean, getting everybody back, somebody's got to eat. And it's almost like a pick-your-poison type thing, kind of like the Falcons have kind of found their, where Darnell eats this week and Bijan eats next week, and then Kyle eats the week after that, and Drake will get back healthy, and he'll be eating in a couple of weeks. So,
Everybody's hungry.
fallout from the Dallas Cowboys loss. The injury. No, you did not just do that.
Pause.
Stop it.
What? Really, I didn't do that. I didn't do a W and start eating it. Like, who eat these W's?
Okay, let me get back together. The injury fallout from the Cowboys' loss to the Falcons continues. Things may be getting a little bit worse when it comes to the status of quarterback Dak Prescott. We know that he did go on IR on Monday with a hamstring injury, a pretty serious one, that is. Well, Stephen Jones, the CEO of the team, he told 94.1 San Antonio's Sports Star that Prescott could be sidelined for more than the four games required by a stint on IR. He said with his situation, it's probably take a full 4 weeks, but he could even think about making a return before he could even think about making a return or even longer. So he said at some point the injury could require surgery. That's what Stephen Jones also had to say to The Athletic. So it's not good.
It's wild, and I'm going to put this in perspective, and I'm not casting shade at any player in college football, but it's wild to me that I was like, okay, Dak can maybe come in, maybe can't. We're looking at a cut on his hand, and afterwards you get imaging, and you find out that it's really, really bad, and he might need surgery. And on the flip side, in Florida, we saw DJ Lagway carted off, and now it's like, you know, he's questionable, could return against Texas. And it's just crazy that those two hamstring injuries this past weekend, I thought, were completely flipped, you know, after the game and after imaging comes in. I think, and I've said this all along, and I said it when Dak Prescott left the game, it felt like this decision was coming from higher up than just simply the head coach or anybody on staff. It felt like this is a, hey, $60 million quarterback, we need him over the next few years if we're going to build around him and really get that offensive line back up to snuff and get this offense going. And we need him healthy and maybe – so I don't want to say they're punting on this year, but it feels that way.
That's – okay, that's kind of what you're saying.
That's what I'm alluding to, yes. I don't know if I'll outright say it, but, man, there's something else there. Maybe it's, hey, we want to see – you know, what the Cooper Rush is able to do at backup quarterback. Maybe it is we want to figure out more about our wide receivers. I don't know, but it just smells fishy.
It's hard for me to believe to go there. They're only 3-5. They've only played one division game. Now they're 1-4 in conference, which is really bad. I think it's
the way they've lost games. It's not just that they're 3-5. It's the way that some of these games have gone down.
Great point.
But I think you have to be very – you have to be very careful with Dak. This is why you were kind of talking about it, because you just locked him up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it matters what the hell you got in Cooper Rush, a backup quarterback. If he is somewhat serviceable, you'll keep him as your backup if you can next year, and Dak Prescott will be your quarterback next year because that's what the money dictates.
I think the one guy they're moving on from is Schottenheimer, the OC, because when you let go of Kellen Moore, and now what he's doing with Philly leads you to believe that he's actually a pretty good OC, and he's done a lot of good things. So I think there's questions around it. I think there's going to be questions around the head coach, regardless, you know, of what they decide to do him. But I think Schottenheimer needs to come out and show he can do something with this backup quarterback situation, or it might get ugly.
The Jacksonville Jaguars may not have the services of Trevor Lawrence, their QB. He's dealing with a injury that could require surgery on that left shoulder. So there's no surgery actually scheduled. This is what Ian Rappaport said, but there are several options immediate and down the road, and surgery is one of them. He is considered day to day.
Now, you talk about punting on a season.
It's the same conversation.
I apologize. I don't know. I got some kind of frog in my throat, but I think this is completely different. 2-7.
So you're one win off.
You're actually two losses off because you've played an extra game
one
at this
win.
Point.
Okay, one win off.
But you have a franchise quarterback as well who is younger, who has not played as well with this head coach. You haven't went 12-5 the last 2 years. There is no stability for Doug Peterson in there. I think you make sure, just like Dallas is, that Trevor Lawrence is healthy, Tiff, and that he is ready to go next season, and you do it with a new head coach.
Yeah, I don't think you're far off there, and they're going to go get a quarterback-friendly head coach. I just, and we've talked about all these guys that are quarterback friendly that can get guys going, and maybe this is where you go and try to pluck a Bobby Slowick and see if he can recreate some of the magic he had with C.J. Stroud last year, even though he's been up against it this season. So
Ben Johnson?
I don't know that that's somewhere that Ben Johnson would go. I think Ben Johnson, I'm glad you brought that up because it's been reported on recently. If there's 8 head coaching openings in the NFL, I don't think he takes 8 interviews. I don't even think it's close. I think he takes 2. I think he will be very selective if he were to leave the Lions about where he's going to go. I think I don't know that he's in any hurry to get out from underneath Dan Campbell and the stability that you get with coaching up there.
He must like kneecaps.
I guess he does.
News with the NFC South division rival in the Carolina Panthers. They have rewarded running back Chuba Hubbard with a 4-year contract extension that will run through 2028. So the deal, according to league sources, is worth $33 million with a maximum value of $37.2 million and $15 million in new fully guaranteed dollars. This is according to David Newton of ESPN.
Yeah, and I think it's a big deal when you look at what they did in the draft. They drafted, is it Brooks out of Texas, was the running back, and a lot of people have kind of been waiting on, you know, when's he going to make his NFL debut? And this whole time you're watching Chuba Hubbard going, dude, I don't know what y'all are waiting on. This dude's pretty good. Like, he's able to get it done and able to do a number of different things. That is just a franchise that, for whatever reason, always seems to have good running backs.
Well, do they ever. They always have good running backs and good defensive tackles.
Yes.
And it's
I
like a stable.
I could not agree more.
And it haunts us every single time we play them because both of them are game changers. Look. This is what the NFL is moving to with running backs. If you can find 2 guys that you have that at that position, then do it. I think Jonathan Brooks is phenomenal running back. I know he's got the injury, but they're going to have a hell of a 2-headed monster. As Falcons fans, you better hope Bryce Young don't figure it out, and they figure out a coach. Now, I don't know. I think Dave Canales is a good coach, and I think he's going to get a couple years. But as a human being, I want Bryce Young to figure it out. As a Falcons fan, I don't want him to figure it out. Not in Charlotte. Not in the Queen City, anyways.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting Clean. What you got for Mike?
You already know, Tiff. It's Fair Foul Friday. And welcome back to the ranks of Fair Foul Friday, Miss Tiffany Blackman. Yeah. Woo-hoo. We're going to have a couple of good things coming up. First of all, is Lamar Jackson already a Hall of Famer, even without a Super Bowl? And the swag surf. Should it become a long-term, full-time Atlanta Falcons tradition? That'll be next on Fair Foul. Stick with us. It's Mic'd Up Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. Shout out to John Foy and the Strong Arm. Also, shout out to my guy Brett over at Level Lawns. Come by, sprinkle a little that fescue seed in the backyard, getting hooked up, making sure it's nice and lush for the kids to play soccer on this fall. And my folks at Buffalo's Cafe, Veterans Day is Monday. They're giving 25% off to all veterans and active duty military on their ticket. It is Fair Foul Friday. Tiff, it's been a while since we've been able to feature you in this segment. The people love you.
Oh, I don't know about that, but
the people love you. We will start off hot here, guys, and let's dive right into this Falcons and Saints matchup. Here's your first fair foul. Bijan. And Alvin Kamara are the 2 best receiving running backs
in the NFL.
Bijan and Alvin Kamara are the 2 best receiving running backs in the NFL, fair or foul? Bo, we'll start with you.
It's foul because Christian McCaffrey and
Bijan
are the 2 best receiving running
backs.
Christian
hasn't played yet this year, but you're still going to crown him. That's fine.
Yeah, because when he is on the field, which he will be, he is one of the 2 best receiving backs in the NFL. He and
Bijan.
Thank you.
10-4. Tiff. What do you think?
I don't think you can say Christian McCaffrey because he has not played.
That's kind of where I'm going with that.
If you polled,
what have you done for me lately?
I'm saying what do you mean? If you're talking about this season,
I don't put caveats in fair foul. That is up to y'all's interpretation.
Yeah, it's not just this season. It is overall. And I'm telling you that when healthy, Christian McCaffrey and
Bijan
are the 2 best receiving running backs in the NFL.
All right.
And I love Alvin Kamara.
And I'm still putting Alvin Kamara up there. I will go with the what have you done for me lately approach.
I like that.
If you're taking the overall approach, yes, Christian McCaffrey, hands down. But if we're talking about this season, which is seems pretty relevant to talk about because it's happening now, then I would go with Alvin Kamara and Bijan.
Let me just add this, and I said this yesterday. It's been, I think, six straight games Alvin Kamara has had five or more catches.
No, look, it's not a
155 rushing yards last week and 60 receiving yards?
Those aren't receiving yards. But
no, she just said,
and 60
that,
receiving.
That is great. That is phenomenal. I'm not a hater of Alvin Kamara. I heard the question and interpreted it. It was, who's the best receiving running back, two receiving running backs in the NFL, and it's an overall thing, and I am not going to
tell you, you don't
lose the top spot just by missing a few games.
Well, speaking of receiving, I want y'all to everybody take a deep breath, all right? And we're gonna go back in time just a little bit. Let's talk about the greatest plays in Falcons and Saints history. Obviously, Deion Jones is up there. There's been a bunch of them throughout the years.
He's got a few.
This play is actually the greatest play in Falcons Saints rivalry history.
Blocker number 79, Mike Johnson. On second and goal off the fake, Ryan to the end zone, touchdown. It is Johnson who is in as the extra blocker. And the Falcons, for the fifth time this season, have scored a touchdown on their first possession.
Well, you get these big tackles coming in these goal line packages, and you expect run, and you kind of lose track of them from time to time. Look at the self by Mike Johnson. That is outstanding. That is great knowledge by an offensive tackle.
That, guys, is the greatest play in Falcons Saints rivalry history. Fair or foul? Tiff, we'll start with you. There is a wrong answer here.
Because I will say it's fair because I believe it all just transpired within the break. And so I'm giving you points for creativity because Day-Day got in my ear. He wanted to share it with the room, but Bo, you were not in here. And he was talking about Mike Johnson's touchdown pass against the Saints and how it was disrespectful.
Points. Yeah.
So I will lean on that as well because of this rivalry. It is disrespectful, downright just savage to have an offensive lineman go out there and score a touchdown on that you-know-what.
Yeah. So. What do you think, Bo? Fair or foul? Greatest play in Falcon Saints history.
Well, that was 2012, correct?
Correct.
I was there.
12 years ago.
It was a great moment, but it is not the greatest moment in Falcons history. Falcon Saints history. Wasn't it? Was it?
Oh, man.
Data, you might be the only person that remembers it. Was it a pick six or a punt return that Deion had in the playoff game against the Saints in the Superdome? I believe it was Deion. That would probably be up there for me. But also, Deion Jones catching the interception in 2017 on Thursday Night Football after the punk-ass Sean Payton.
Oh, here we go. Okay, we're not going on a hate train.
The horrible
Sean Payton
does the choke sign.
Yeah, let
and
it
then
flow.
Debo elevates
let it flow.
In the end zone for the pick off of Drew Brees. Mm. That might have been one of the best. Or when Debo pick sixes it in 2016 in New Orleans.
When you're talking about best moments, you want to add the disrespectful to it because it is a heated rivalry. And I don't know if those moments are necessarily disrespectful. It's just pure athleticism, great plays in a rivalry game.
Come
the disrespect was having your lineman go out there.
Pure athleticism?
It does fall under that as well. But I'm saying it's disrespectful. Kind of like the Jameis thing last year was disrespectful.
It was. Let's move on real quick.
That crossed disrespect.
We got to go. Lamar Jackson is already a Hall of Famer, two-time MVP, but no Super Bowls. Lamar Jackson, watching him last night, already a Hall of Famer in your mind. But we'll start with you.
Absolutely. Hall of Fames are not based on championships. It's an individual thing. He's a two-time and maybe on his way to back-to-back and three-time MVP. Lamar Jackson could go down in his own track to go down as the greatest dual-threat quarterback in the history of football.
Mm. Bob Petrino getting a lot of credit for that. What do you think, Tiff?
Really
already a Hall of Famer.
That was really good.
Yeah, you're co-signing on that?
I'm going to co-sign on that because I don't think I can add to it.
All right, let's move on to this one. Tiff, being off this weekend, will catch up on her sleep and finally get her life together. She says it every week, got to get my life together. Tiff will catch up on sleep and finally get her life together. Bo, we'll start with you.
That's false. It's foul. It's foul. It's just not going to happen. I love Tiff to death, and I think the world of her, and she knows that. But
she's going to be out in the streets.
You know, she has the off seasons at times where she's extremely busy. She does other things like WNBA. She did the Olympics. She does NFL, college. But there's also little breaks and weekends where she's had time to get sleep and get her life together. And I think she has missed those opportunities.
There's not been any breaks on the weekends. I've been traveling either back or something from a game. I will say, yes, it is going to happen this weekend.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Because I have a game plan.
Confidence.
My new duvet set comes in.
What is that?
Duvet cover and shams.
What are those?
It's just something classy people have for their bedding.
Got a big weekend, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if I have time.
And then I will be laying low the rest of the weekend. I don't want to look at another person's face.
Let me tell you, okay.
Except for dinner tonight.
If you come in on Monday, here's the litmus test. If you come in Wednesday and you're spry and you look at me and go, you know, my energy's here because I got my life together this weekend, and I did it. And I will buy you whatever you want from Starbucks. Your Starbucks order is on me.
Wow, I think that's a good test.
Mike, I have an answer real quick.
Go ahead. All the smoke. All right, we got
to
move on.
I
was talking to somebody about this yesterday. It doesn't seem like the Falcons have traditions. I think the Saints actually have better traditions than the Falcons. As much as it hurts me to say that, they play, you know, all the music down there. They have the hoodat thing that happens before the game. They bring a player out. They do all this other kind of stuff. The only thing I come up with was the swag surf, right? And so does this deserve a spot in the long term? And I'm talking about the longevity of, like, the next, I don't know, 8 to 10 plus years of actually playing the swag surf. Should the swag surf be a Falcons tradition long term? Fair or foul? Tiff, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I say that's fair. You've got Kirko. Wait, why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Because everyone's into it in the stadium. When you look at clips, and I have not been able to attend a game in person because I'm at other games, everyone's even attempting to do it. Yeah. And that shows you something, right? You may not have rhythm, but you still feel like you are a part of something.
Oh, man.
In the stadium while people try to help you.
If we haven't been able to corner you for the swag surf,
I will not. I know my limitations. Yeah. I will not embarrass my family.
All right. What do you think, Bo? Fair or foul?
Only dance when I'm drinking.
What do you think?
Sure. Whatever. No, I mean, I just want whatever tradition that the Falcons have to be solely theirs.
You got
to
develop some
at
some point.
Well, yeah, but I think that the swag surf has been done in other arenas and stadiums in Atlanta, the Hawks, and I think it might have been done first. So I don't want to poo-poo on anything because I love the crowd getting animated, but maybe we find
haven't
something.
Haven't they played it before in previous years?
The Falcons have done it for a couple of years.
That's
what I'm saying long term. All right, let's get through two more really quick. Cap it at 10 seconds. New Orleans, the toughest road game in the NFL. Fair or foul? New Orleans, toughest road game in the NFL. Fair or foul?
Fair. It's capital F-A-I-R. It is the hardest place. I am telling you, maybe it's because they overmodulate their speakers and they're so high up and I'm in the roof doing the games. But that is the loudest stadium
that is where I, sit
I have
in the same
ever
area,
been.
And I have had my phone alert me, my watch alert me that you're reaching dangerous decibel levels.
To Jeff's
Chiefs
point,
fans are upset. Seattle Seahawks fans are upset. But
I've
agree with
never
both of you.
Left the Superdome without a skull-splitting headache because how loud and how loud you have to have your earphones in there. It's brutal.
Yeah, Tiff, we'll go with you the first one on this one. Bo will cry during the birth of his daughter.
Yeah,
you think?
I wanted to add another word in there, but he'll cry. For sure.
Bo will cry during the birth of his daughter. Fair or foul, Bo?
I mean, it's foul. I'm just not a crier, man. I'm going to be elated with emotion, but I might be fist pumping. Right. Might spike something in the room.
Last one. As a sign of disrespect, the Atlanta Super Bowl halftime show should feature Lil Wayne after he got put on the schneid by New Orleans this year, and he was upset about it. How about a little bit of disrespect? Yeah. Atlanta goes, you know what, man? We got value for you. We got love.
Well,
fair or foul.
Other than Ed Orgeron, Lil Wayne's probably my favorite, and Bobby Hebert.
You should bring Ed Orgeron
and Bobby Hebert. Lil Wayne's probably my favorite person from Louisiana, so hell yeah.
Tiff said,
let's bring Weezy
bring
in.
I don't know. Just bring him out.
What's he going to do? Dance with his shirt off like he's in Destin? He's
Tiff,
all over Destin,
massive
Florida.
Sign of disrespect. Let's bring in Lil Wayne. What do you think?
I agree, but I kind of actually like bringing out Edward. Just to have him do something. I don't know. Just to like welcome
just stumbled
to
on that one by accident, man. Nice job. That is your fair foul. Nice work.
All right.
There's no winner, by the way.
There's no winner.
Ding.
Oh, yeah. We're not. Okay, cool.
Now, you came at me that first question like you thought there was a winner. You're like, no, you're an
it's not
idiot.
Which one wins.
Like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, it's not. I was waiting for a winner to. All right. Well, good to be back here on a Friday. Anyway, when we come back here on the morning shift, Billy Napier staying at Florida. We will discuss as well as get these guys picked so that they can be embarrassed on Monday. No, no takers.
I know you love doing that.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.